Have you ever wondered what it's like to experience something paranormal, supernatural, or unexplainable? Join host Jack Wagner on the podcast Otherworld as he explores spine-chilling real stories shared by everyday people who have experienced something unexplainable. Listen each week for first-person testimony from people who have come face-to-face with something that can't just be explained away. Listen and follow Otherworld, an Odyssey podcast, available now on the Odyssey app or wherever you get your podcasts.
Kendall Gill? Wow!
Kendall Gill, Chicago Bulls pre- and post-game analyst from Chicago Sports Network.
Well, you got to be able to close the show. You know, that's what all great champions do in boxing and basketball.
Former NBA player.
Gill saved with Jordan, 7 to shoot. Gill got the block!
Illini legend.
2-on-1 now. What's this? Kendall Gill making a statement.
Kendall Gill on Mullin Haw.
I really like that, guys. I mean, you know, I appreciate you shouting out the Silver Fox squad.
On 670 The Score.
Mullin Haw, Chicago Sports Radio 670 The Score. Always a delight to talk to Kendall Gill with the Chicago Sports Network on the pre- and the post-game shows with our buddy Jason Goff. Kendall, good morning. How are you?
I'm doing great, guys. How you doing?
Doing well.
We're doing okay. You know, we're a little bit let down by the Bulls' performance. I didn't think it was going to be easy, but when I saw that Zion was out, I thought, well, that's a break. And then I thought Zach got going a little toward the end of the first half, and I thought, you know, this could be an interesting game. And then they just they were turning the ball over too much. I don't know how else to say it, and I think Billy – kind of said that too in the post game. When you're giving the ball away and you want to play a certain fashion, it's just going to blow up on you.
Yeah, and that was the reason why they lost yesterday. I mean, 21 turnovers, and those 21 turnovers turned into 30 points for the Pelicans, and that was the game right there. You got to take care of the basketball, especially when you're playing against the best players in the world. But I attribute it to first game. Guys aren't used to playing, you know, the starting five isn't used to playing with each other as much as they should be because, you know, they during preseason you're playing all different types of lineups and things like that. Kobe White is trying to get used to a new role of playing off of the basketball when he exclusively played point guard last year. So, you know, it's going to be a transition, but, you know, I think that, you know, next three or four games, they'll iron out all the kinks. But the one thing that I did like is that the way that Lonzo came back. I mean, they look like when he's on the floor, they look like a whole different team, man. They look like they did when Lonzo first came to Chicago about 3 or 4 years ago.
I agree with that. There's a stabilizing impact that he has immediately. Yeah. I just wonder how many minutes he can play, what that's going to increase to, and then the back-to-backs is an issue. Kendall, overall, stylistically, what did you think about this? The whole change in approach that Billy Donovan is introducing this year? They shot 34 threes last night, which was about 13 fewer than they averaged in preseason. Do you think that the up-tempo approach, do you think the three-point emphasis is something that the Bulls can pull off?
Well, I mean, I think it's something that they have to do because you look at the way that the league is going. Look at Boston the other night. I believe that was Tuesday night, the first game. They almost set a record in three-point shots made, you know, and that's one of the Boston Celtics' strong points is shooting a lot of threes and making a lot of threes. Now, the thing is that, you know, I think that Billy is trying to lean towards that way of playing. The Bulls are number one in pace during the preseason and second and three-point attempts. I think it can be done. They just need to be able to iron out all the kinks as far as turning the basketball over. You know, you need the ball in order if you're going to shoot all those three-point shots, and you can't give it away. I think that's why we didn't see what we saw in the preseason yesterday.
Kendall, who's their best three-point shooter?
Oh, Zach, I believe. You know, Zach showed that yesterday. I mean, he went 5 for 6 from three-point line yesterday in the first half. He had 19 points in the first half, but only ended up with only 8 points in the second half. You know, you got to find situations in which you can, you know, you got to operate to the hot hand. But, you know, I think that Zach did a pretty good job yesterday. I mean, a fantastic job yesterday in the first half. And, you know, I think he's coming into this season with a point to prove. Yes, he was injured last year, but, you know, he's trying to get back to that all-star level. I think in the first half he took a tremendous step towards, you know, regaining the way that he played 2 or 3 years ago.
And he just got to protect the basketball too as well. 7 turnovers.
Yeah, yeah, 7 turnovers, yeah.
Yeah, so I think if you're looking for bright spots, one emerge, I feel like Jalen Smith was pretty good. 17 minutes, he had 15 points, and he hadn't done that or looked as good in preseason, Kendall. Last night, it looked like he was a guy that could help them in that rotation. What role do you think he plays? Is he going to be the guy that epitomizes that sort of 3-and-D approach, because he's not really the guy that you think of as your prototypical five?
No, he's not. I mean, you know, actually, David, I would like to see him go along and play power forward with Vooch some, you know, because I think that he spreads the court out. Then you have two big men in there that are capable, and I love his tenacity, the way that he attacks the rim. He's got a little bit of nastiness to him, which you always need. You need one or two of those guys on your team always. And he can step out and knock down that three-point shot. So I was really, really impressed with him. I didn't see him doing this in the preseason, but, you know, it seems like the first game he says, okay, I'm going to show you guys what I can do, and I really liked it. But, you know, I would love to see him alongside Vooch in the lineup.
Yeah, I got to tell you, I think that there are all sorts of possibilities. I was surprised that they played as many guys as they did, and maybe that's just because it's the start of the season and you're establishing roles to begin with. But I wonder, you know, when we look at Lonzo Ball, and I agree that they are good when he's on the floor, the problem is, he's only allowed 16 minutes. I think he only played 14, so that's the low end of the minutes limits. And that's going to be a problem for a while. And I just wonder how you build up a role for yourself if you're not going to be playing. Like, they got games Friday and Saturday, so they have to decide whether to play him Friday or Saturday. And I don't know if they've announced that yet, but I would imagine they want to get him in the game at home, but who knows?
Yeah, and you know, I think that it's a progression thing. I think that you have to see how does your knee feel today? Is there any soreness? Then you progress to playing a little bit more minutes. Then once you get past that stage, then you see, okay, well, let's try him on the back-to-back and see how he feels. And then once we try him on the back-to-back, then possibly not play him the following game after that and see how he feels. It's a progression thing, because I can tell you, I would love to see him at 25, 26 minutes a game because of the way that he orchestrates that offense. I mean, I was looking at the little subtleties he was doing yesterday. When he got the basketball, immediately looks up court, you know, because he knows the point guard position so well. He's looking for guys as soon as he touches the basketball. Throws an alley-oop to Zach LaVine, and all it was they didn't even talk. They just communicated through eye contact, and Zach knew exactly what to do. That's what happens when you have an elite point guard like Lonzo Ball. You know, it's just now that hopefully we got to pray to the guys that his knee is not sore and that he can hold up and that he can progress. Because if he can do that, then we're talking about a totally different ball club.
You're so right, and I thought it was interesting watching the game. And I think it was Adam and Stacey were talking about the Lonzo Ball effect on Zion Williamson. And when he left, that there hasn't been as many dunks or alley-oops to Zion, right? Because they were referencing that pass that you saw, the alley-oop, and that was such a beautiful pass. And also just the vision it required to him to anticipate that. Those are the little things that make a big difference.
Yeah, and, you know, to use a football analogy, he throws you open.
Yes.
And when you have a quarterback like that, you love playing with it. It makes totally everybody runs. Everybody knows who to give the basketball to. I think a couple of times yesterday's game that we were trying to get the basketball, we didn't to the point guard, but we didn't know who the point guard really was at that point or that stage in the game. Well, should we throw it to Josh? Should we throw it to Kobe? Should we throw it to Zach? When Lonzo Ball is on the floor, you know who to throw it to. Okay, that's where the basketball is going, and he's going to get it to who's ever open. That's what he does for your team.
So we talk a lot about player development, this being a season for player development. Can you think of guys that can become better three-point shooters than they are? Is that something that practice makes perfect? Can you go into a gym and be a better shooter, or do you have to kind of know how to shoot and then get better at it? Is the shot doctor going to turn people into better three-point shooters?
Yeah, I think Peter Patton has done a wonderful job over there. You look at how well Io has been shooting the basketball throughout preseason, how he progressed last year. I think that anybody, if you put the work in, can become a really good shooter. You know, I think that the work that Peter's going to do with Josh is going to really improve his game. I think with Modest, Lucellus is going to do wonders for him coming in as a rookie and having Peter Patton there to hone his skills as a shooter. You just need to put the work in, and you need to do it correctly. Some guys will go and shoot 500 shots a day, but they'll do it the wrong way.
Right.
You know, that's why you need a guy like Peter Patton there to say, listen, no, we need to shoot 500 like this. And, you know, I think that everybody can improve. I think that you've seen improvement, you know. And even when you can shoot the three-point shot, you can still improve if you continue to put the work in.
How do you see this season unfolding for Vooch? Because I think he sometimes is the guy that we overlook, and with all this emphasis on the changing the style of play, being up-tempo. You're talking about a guy that isn't exactly fit. He doesn't exactly fit into that profile of being an up-tempo guy. Now, he can hit the three, but he's not somebody who runs up and down the floor that well at this stage of his career. And you wonder, he gave you 21 and 11 last night, but he also was a guy they didn't throw the ball to sometimes when he was open. So I wonder, Kendall, what should we expect this season from Vooch?
I think you can expect to see double-doubles all season long. You know, with this era of knocking down three-point shots or getting up as many three-point shots as you can, I think an emphasis on post-play has disappeared. And, you know, guys, if they don't see post play all the time, they don't know how to defend it. So now, and I've been saying this for 3-4 years, ever since Vooch got here, that his main strength is being on the post. Can he knock down a three-point shot? Yeah, he can knock it down. But his main strength is being down on that block like you saw him last night. He was taking advantage of everybody that tried to guard him down there last night. And you're right, David, we did miss him a couple times. So, you know, there has to be an emphasis also to throw the ball down in the post so we can take it. Because guys in this era don't know how to guard the post. So if you got a post player, you got to utilize them. And I think that that's what Vooch is going to do throughout the whole season.
I know you liked what you saw from Josh Giddey. I was a little disappointed he's not a better scorer. He doesn't seem like a natural scorer. And, in fact, he had a couple rebounds, a couple putbacks, which is great if you're down low. But when you're exchanging twos for threes and he's kind of getting his own shot a little bit, I don't know how I feel about him. And I'm very curious to see him against Oklahoma City.
Yeah, for our first game, as I said before, I think everything will work out with him. I love the way that he can push the basketball and get downhill at 6'7", 6'8". And the thing you have to watch with Josh is the way that when he gets paint touches. If he's getting paint touches, meaning that he's getting into the paint with the basketball off of his drive and then kicking to his teammate, that's almost just as good as scoring, because now the defense has to collapse on him and now he's getting open shots for his teammates. I think that's the strength of his game. Is he going to score some? Yeah, he's going to score some. Is he going to knock down a three here and there? Yeah, he's going to do that. But I think the most important part for him is to penetrate, get in that lane, get those guys defensively to double team him and then kick out to his teammates. That's going to be the strength of his game.
How do you keep Patrick Williams from losing confidence after a start like that, 7 shots? And I think Patrick Williams is one of those guys that, again, feels like he's on the spot, feels like he needs to come through. It feels like he's in a similar situation that he's been in previous seasons. He's not that old, Kendall, but it feels like time or patience, at least, might be running out with him.
Yeah, I mean, I don't know the answer to that question. I mean, you know, he's just got to go get it. You know, he's been given his contract. He's been given the years. that, you know, are required for a draft pick for you to develop them. You know, it's time now. And, you know, hopefully Patrick can get together. And look, he's a wonderfully talented player. I mean, I believe that when he really gets it, that he can go and dominate anybody, because physically at 6'8", 235 pounds or whatever he is, and all of the athletic intangibles that he has, that's everything that you want. Now it needs to be turned on upstairs about, you know, the mentality needed, you know. And I wish I could have him in the boxing gym for like a summer. Right? And then we can put him in there with some guys. And, you know, when you get in that boxing ring, it's do or die. So, and that's the same mentality that he has to have when he steps out there on that court. Now when he finally gets it, you know, I feel sorry for a lot of guys in the NBA, because he's gonna destroy somebody. Now it's just a matter of him getting it.
I think the other element, and I heard Billy talk about it briefly, like the defensive issues seemed apparent like immediately. And I don't know if hustle plays or diving on the floor or winning loose balls or 50-50, but whatever way you want to look at it, they did not manage to win their share. It seemed like a lopsided number were going the other way. And I don't know if you can win when you can't shut anybody down or kind of get some of those balls that are available to you.
Yeah, you heard Stacey and Adam talk about that last night on the broadcast as well, about getting the 50-50 balls. And that's one thing. And then, again, I go back to this is the first game. So, yep. You know, there are kinks to be worked out. And that's inevitable with any NBA team. And what you have to do, you have to go back. You have to watch the film. The guys, we need to take care of the basketball in these aspects. And also, we can't win because we're a smaller team if we lose the 50-50 balls and we don't gang rebound. I think that's what we have to establish right away, that we're going to be a tough, defensive-minded team that rebounds, runs, and pushes the pace. They got to know, an opposing NBA team has to know, that the Chicago Bulls, when you go and you play them, you're in for a tough night. This is not going. You got to bring your hard hat and lunch pail. That's the identity that, you know, I think that Billy is going to establish in the next couple of games. You know, because like I said before, first game you're dealing with all types of combinations off of the bench and starting lineups. You got to see what's what, and then after that, you can decide, okay, this is where we need to improve, and everybody can get on the same page.
So, Kendall, so much conversation about this Bulls team is the protecting the top 10 draft pick. And so much of the conversation going into the season isn't necessarily about where the Bulls are headed as much as it is what the Bulls need to do to protect that draft pick. And as a guy who spent 15 years in the league, I wonder, can you relate it to any experience you went through, and how this does it have any effect on players as they begin a new season full of hope and optimism and fresh starts and all those things that represent the beginning of a new year? That probably is not what they want to hear.
Yeah, I can give you a perfect example. I think it was my sixth year I was with the New Jersey Nets. I broke my hand. I got traded to the New Jersey Nets. I broke my hand, and we were playing great basketball before that. Okay, we got on a run, and we were about to make the playoffs. And I broke my hand on Reggie Miller's elbow, skinny elbows. Okay, so I'm out for about 2 months, and I get the go ahead to come back, and I'm out on the court. The doctor gave me the go ahead. I'm out on the court shooting and everything. I'm about to come back. Willis Reed comes out on the court. He says, "Hey Kendall, what are you doing?" And I was like, "I'm getting ready for the game." He's like, "No, you're not. We're going for the draft pick. Go back in the locker room."
Wow.
So that's somehow they were going for the draft pick. We ended up getting the 7th pick in the draft, which would have been Kobe Bryant, but they said that they would not come to New Jersey, so it ended up being Kerry Kittles. And teams, they do that. They want to protect the draft pick. And you know, I don't know what the case is with the Bulls. I think that their main goal is to win games. I mean, that's what it is. And You know, I don't know how this thing is going to pan out, but I can tell you this. I do think that the Bulls are going to be much have a much better record than people think that they're going to have. I mean, last night was a throwaway. I think that they're going to play much better in the games coming up this weekend. And, you know, we'll see what happens.
Great stuff, Kendall. Thank you, buddy.
Thanks, Kendall.
All right, guys.
Good job. Easy.
That is Kendall Gill. I mean, you know, from that perspective about the top 10 pick, and it's, you know,
he's always got a story. He's got so much.
Oh, he's great.
Of terms of a frame of reference and what he can refer to in his 15 years in the NBA. That's interesting.
But that is true. That teams are aware of that. The other thing that's true is that Zach LaVine, whether he had too many turnovers, whatever, he had a bounce to him. He looked healthy again.
He looked like an all-star.
Yes, he looked good.
The first half, he looked like an all-star.
So, I mean, and I don't know.
What you're saying is he looked tradable.
I'm trying not to be negative after one game, and I'm trying not to overreact.
Some people would say that's a positive spin on it, but I think that's what you're saying is that in the first half, you say he looked tradable. I looked at him and said, why would you want to trade a guy who is that good?
When you don't have other players that look tradable. All right, 312-644-6767, Mully and Haw on the score.
When you think about businesses that are selling through the roof like Aloe, Allbirds, or Skims, sure, you think about a great product, a cool brand, and brilliant marketing. But an often overlooked secret is actually the businesses behind the business, making selling and for shoppers buying simple. For millions of businesses, that business is Shopify. Nobody does selling better than Shopify, home of the number one checkout on the planet and the not so secret secret with Shop Pay that boosts conversions up to 50%, meaning way less carts going abandoned and way more sales going. So if you're into growing your business, your commerce platform better be ready to sell whenever your customers are scrolling or strolling on the web, in your store, in their feed, and everywhere in between. Upgrade your business and get the same checkout experience as business powerhouses like Aloe, Allbirds, and Skims. Sign up for your $1 per month trial period at shopify.com/odysseypodcast, all lowercase. Go to shopify.com/odysseypodcast to upgrade your selling today. shopify.com/odysseypodcast.
Have you ever wondered what it's like to experience something paranormal, supernatural, or unexplainable? Join host Jack Wagner on the podcast Otherworld as he explores spine-chilling real stories shared by everyday people who have experienced something unexplainable. Listen each week for first-person testimony from people who have come face-to-face with something that can't just be explained away. Listen and follow Otherworld, an Odyssey podcast, available now on the Odyssey app or wherever you get your podcasts.
Just seeing all the craziness, like, it's been insane. You know what I mean? Like, I can't even open my phone. Every 2 seconds, it's Lions fans, Falcons fans, Bears fans. It's me in an edit in a different jersey, and I'm like, what the f*** is this turned into?
That's David's guy, Max Crosby, with the potty mouth. Did we block that out? Holy cow.
We did.
Mully and Haw on the score.
We did, I hope.
What the heck's?
What the heck is that, Max Crosby? Clean it up, man.
Yeah, come on, man.
Clean it up.
He is the subject of many a trade rumor.
Why is he my guy?
I don't know. I just thought I'd put, because he spoke foully. I thought I'd put that on you.
Oh, because I do that all the time?
No, I just thought I'd put
it on you. I am known as a potty mouth.
Well, if you must admit it.
Long time potty mouth. Also, he's a Mid-American Conference product. I like that about him. He's an overachiever.
That's what it is. He could be the best Mac pass rusher the Bears have since Khalil Mack.
Khalil Mack, yes.
Speaking of the
pride of Buffalo. So I wonder if Max Crosby is on the move and if the Raiders are short-sighted enough to deal him. I wonder that because they have a history of doing that and they just got rid of Davante Adams. Different circumstances, but still. I also wonder in Cleveland if Myles Garrett is going to be the product of their fire sale, if they're going to have one. Because look at Tennessee.
Who would you prefer?
Oh, that's easy. Yeah. No, it's not easy.
It's not easy.
It's not easy at all. Okay, I said that thinking Myles Garrett, but you know what? I don't know that that's a no-brainer. I like everything that Max Crosby offers with the intangibles and what he does on the field.
If he spelled his name M-A-C with a possessive S, the Max Crosby, you would like him more.
Yes, I did.
But Myles Garrett is a defensive player of the year. Not that Max Crosby isn't a great player. I think his work ethic and the way that he plays the game and approaches the game, I think he could come in and fit in anywhere.
He's a fit.
I think.
Are you kidding me?
I think that Myles Garrett is also a fit because he would be the best player on the defense if he came here, and he would help Montez Sweat lead multiple teams in sacks.
Definitely. Spoiled for choice if you were going to be Ryan Poles and say, which direction do I want to go here? There is no wrong answer.
No, there's not a bad answer.
Max with two X's. What's that? Because
he's potty mouth.
That's technically why. He's XX rated.
Why is he not Max with one X?
I don't know.
That's an interesting question. Well,
that'd be the second question we ask him if they ever trade for him.
Excuse me, sir.
Yeah.
Why do you spell your name?
My first question would be, what is your favorite Mac memory?
That's right.
So I don't know that either one of them is going to be available.
Central Michigan? Is that
Eastern?
Eastern. I'm
don't
sorry.
Don't confuse the Michigans, please.
Central
is the place where Robert Saleh and Matt LaFleur met, and they had him at Hello, right? They worked for Brian Kelly. They formed that bond that still exists all these years later. Eastern Michigan is in Ypsilanti, and Western Michigan is in Kalamazoo. Three Michigans
Ypsilanti
in the MAC.
Is like spitting distance to Ann Arbor.
Yes, it is.
Why didn't he go to Michigan?
Good question. He was overlooked like a lot of guys in the MAC. He played with a chip on his shoulder. Look at him now. This guy plays like his hair's on fire.
I know one guy from the MAC who still feels overlooked, apparently.
Yes, definitely.
You
never lose that chip, pal.
No.
Donald runs away, has it complete, and there goes Keith into field goal range with the first down, off a tackle, end zone! This is Maction!
I wondered where that was going.
Yeah.
Okay.
No, it's a little Maction for you.
Do you think either one of them is going to be available at the trade deadline? Do you think Ryan Poles is pursuing either guy right now, either in his mind or on the phone?
Just in total honesty, wouldn't you? Wouldn't you? If you were Ryan Poles, why would you not pursue either guy or both of them?
If you have the sense that neither one is attainable, or if you have the idea that you are not in a position to want to give up any draft capital this season, because if you did that, you would be ahead of schedule.
Oh, I'd get ahead of schedule.
Okay.
I would totally give up whatever the draft capital needed. I might give up. I mean, can you imagine?
Your first and the Panthers first for Max Crosby. Yes or no?
Okay.
I'm sorry. The Panthers second.
Panthers second, which is like a first. So would I give what do you think the Bears?
Your first is going to be around 20.
4-2. Yes.
It's going to be around 20.
And then maybe a 32.
20 and 33 for Max Crosby. You would do that?
I think I might.
Wow.
I might.
Because you tend to draft hoard.
I like to hold on to draft picks.
Yeah, I know. That surprised me.
I think if you got Myles Garrett, if you got the defensive player of the year to go with your defense, I think, I mean, you tell me, who stops them? Who beats a team? You know, here's the deal. You got to have a quarterback. Number one, a priority, must have a quarterback. And if you don't have a quarterback, or even if you have a quarterback, you got to have pass rushers. You want to blow up a game. Now, would that change if you're giving $100 million to one guy to give another $100 million? How would that change your team, and how would that impact you? They made a great trade before. They got all these players out of it. They still need help on the offensive line. You'd like them to maybe take both those picks and get offensive linemen.
But it's an easy argument to win. If your argument is, well, we should really take those two draft picks, and if we're going to get a pass rusher that's among the top five at his position, either Myles Garrett or Max Crosby both fit that description.
Yes,
you could make that deal. You could justify making that deal. Yeah. Especially in this city, especially at this time. You know why? Because you've got the quarterback. You got the quarterback, and everything else seems like it. That fact alone justifies almost every other move you're willing or able to make.
And if you want to go ahead of schedule, who am I to slow you down? Let's go. Get to it.
I still think it would not help your offensive line.
No.
But I do think it would help your overall profile and your ability to think that you are in a better position to win the division or get to the playoffs. No question about it. I don't think it's realistic, though.
If you added a guy, one of those two guys, to your defense, would you not be the best unit in the
Yes, you would.
NFC North?
Well, you might be the best unit in the NFL overall.
That's fair.
If you add Max Crosby to this Bears defense, you're going from a top five, arguably top 10 defense to the best defense in the league.
And he's a culture guy. He's like a big, strong animal of a man that, you know, plays the game the right way and has other guys' influences the way they play the game. Now, you would have like an all-out competition about who's going to lead the team in sacks.
And seamless transition.
It would be unbelievable.
But you'd have to, and you also would benefit, if you got Crosby specifically, keeping him away from the Lions. Because as we heard from him coming in, everybody anticipates and expects that he would be going back to Michigan, and where he has done well in that state.
I thought he was from Texas. Let's straighten that up. He played in Michigan.
I don't know his whole life story, but didn't he move to Michigan, then he ended up in Ypsilanti? Otherwise, I don't know how he ends up in Ypsilanti.
Isn't it Ypsilanti? Isn't the Y kind of silent?
Is it?
I believe so.
All these years, I've been saying Ypsilanti.
I think it's Ypsilanti.
Dustin, like,
I don't know.
Hands up.
Dustin, what are you doing? Are you taking a pledge of some sort?
Can somebody help us out?
I'm not going to debate the two English majors. Listen, on how to pronounce.
I did not major in English.
I couldn't even spell it.
I was not an English major.
Y or I.
I was not an English major. No? David, how dare you?
David Journalism? Has the yips.
Yeah, I have the yips. And I've had the yips in Ypsilanti. Had a couple long nights there. We lost a game 38-37, I think. We blew a 37-10 lead
against
the Eastern Michigan. Michigan. I remember it well.
Sure.
Do you remember that running back, Gary Patton? Gary Patton, he played for the Jets. All I remember about Ypsilanti, I think about every time Eastern Michigan comes up.
Was that the glove?
No, that was Gary Payton. That was the glove.
I was making a joke.
Gary Patton was a running back for the Jets. But before that, he was at Eastern Michigan. And we had a blitz call. And I was one-on-one with Gary Patton. And he ran me over. And then he ran 75 yards for a touchdown. So when I think of Ypsilanti, I do think of the Yips.
Ooh.
Bad memory. Thanks for bringing it up. All right. Back to Max Crosby.
I'll call it Ypsilanti in case I'm wrong.
Ypsilanti.
That starts with an O, right?
Depends. Sometimes it's just pronounced.
Dustin, we're not picking on you, so why would you volunteer to be picked on?
I didn't say you were.
Yeah, you are. You
looked at me like, what do you think? And I'm like, I'm not getting involved in this one. Now I'm involved.
We got a texter saying Ypsilanti Mully is right.
All right.
I don't know if I'm right or not.
So
I know that I've been to Ypsilanti.
Ypsilanti.
But I just love.
Have you?
Of course I have. My wife is from Detroit. She went to Michigan. We go to Ann Arbor every year. Ypsilanti's right there.
There's really no other reason to go to Ypsilanti unless you're going to Eastern Michigan.
Sometimes you know people that live in certain areas. That's not the case for me, but I've been through there.
Brad says from 219, from Crown Point, it's a silent Y.
Thank you.
Excellent. So now we have confirmation on you were right.
I will just bathe in this rare moment.
In this glory.
Where David has admitted.
I never really thought about it much.
Yeah.
But I don't really like the place. I don't. I thought it was a crummy field. They've gotten better with facilities.
Well, we have someone who wants to verify it. Jeff is in Kalamazoo. Hey, Jeff.
Hey, Jeff.
Hey, good morning, gentlemen. Shout out to Kalamazoo, Western Michigan Broncos. It is Ypsilanti, like Ip. No yip.
Okay.
Yips come the other way, David, but Ypsilanti, my brother. So you guys have a good week.
Thanks, Jeff. Appreciate it. Bye. Listen, I'm in Chicago. People still call it Soldiers Field and Jewels, okay? So I can call it Ypsilanti if I want to.
Just so you know, I'm from the South Side. Jules is the South Side pronunciation.
One is giggled about, one is frowned upon.
My high school was Quigley South, which is now St. Rita's South Side pronunciation.
Okay.
You get the S.
I'm not going to feel bad about Ypsilanti being mispronounced.
Nobody cares. Said it right. Look at you.
I'm learning. I'm an English major.
Okay. So what is wrong with being an English major?
Nothing.
You know, I mean, honestly,
unless you want to get a job.
If you, are you kidding me? They are desperate for English majors to teach the GP chat how to be able to communicate and a little something about Bill Shakespeare.
Okay,
it's very important.
Bill Shakespeare,
the many famous Williams, who were great writers over the many years.
Well, I. maybe I'm not disparaging any English majors.
As the great Taylor Bell used to say, if you can't read a book, have someone read one to you.
I love Taylor Bell.
I love that. I love that idea. Yes, another Ypsilanti. We're getting all sorts of Ypsilanti reactions.
So happy for you.
You know, it's a rarity. I have my moment.
Now I hope they trade for Myles Garrett.
All right. His real name is Myles Garrett, but he's Myles on the
South.
It's
Myles with a Y, by the way.
We got Nick Costos next. We'll talk to him, Mully and Haw, on the Score.
I want winners.
Mully and Haw, Chicago Sports Radio 670, the Score. It's time to welcome in our guy. He is Nick Costos with BetQL, and Nick is here to talk about some of the glorious and wondrous events, including tonight. And he joins us on the Aturo Tire Hotline. Aturo, your hometown tire, aturo.com.
And Nick's probably celebrating the fact that Brian Daboll and Joe Shane are coming back through 2025 with the Giants, right?
Oh, I love it. You know, it's always a good reason to do something because you haven't done it in the past or have done it in the past with, like, no other independent thought involved. Well, I did this last time, so I won't do it this time, ignoring what's actually happening in front of you. Yeah, it's awesome.
Awesome.
Yeah, great ownership in New York. It's great.
Okay, so what's your prop for tonight, oh, Prop King?
Oh, I love what we get right into it.
Let's go.
Okay, so I don't know if you guys saw this, but this broke like 15 minutes ago. Apparently, the Rams are optimistic that Puka Nacua is going to play tonight.
Oh, wow.
Which is a big deal because, like, he's obviously been out since week one. He's been on IR since week one. They just opened his 21-day practice window. Tom Pelissero of NFL Media tweeted, like, 15 minutes ago in real time that the Rams are optimistic that Puka Nacua is going to play in the game tonight. Now, even if Nacua plays, I think it remains to be seen, like, how healthy is Nacua going to be tonight? So I'm going to give you guys, like, I'll give you a prop and then I'm going to give you a same game parlay that I think is worth playing. So Cooper Kupp has been in trade rumors. The Rams are apparently calling teams to try and trade them Cooper Kupp. Teams aren't calling them. The Rams are calling teams. And I think if that's the case, like, I think they're going to showcase Cooper Kupp tonight. So the Cooper Kupp overs, I think, are good. But let's just assume, guys, that Nacua does play tonight for the Rams. Like, let's say, like, 90 minutes before kickoff, he is active for the game. I think a way to get ahead of this, and this does not have to be a huge bet, like a huge monetary bet, you same game parlay this. And what it is Matthew Stafford, like 300 or more passing yards, or, like, to have a big passing game with unders for all the non-cup wide receivers for the Rams. So that's like tight end Colby Parkinson, wide receiver Tutu Atwell, wide receiver DeMarcus Robinson, along with, like, Matthew Stafford, two or more passing touchdowns. Like, that multiplier will pay you pretty well. So again, if Puka plays, the thought is Stafford has a big game and all the non-cup Nacua Rams receivers will not. I think is an interesting way to think about this if Nacua does play tonight.
Nick, how about the Bears and Commanders? The lines moved a little bit, and I'm sure it depends on Jaden Daniels and his availability.
Yeah, this will be maybe the first time this year I've said this. I love the Bears this weekend, no matter who plays quarterback for Washington. So let's talk quickly through a couple betting scenarios for the game. If Jaden Daniels is ruled out and Marcus Mariota is going to play for Washington, and people will say, well, Mariota came in last week against Carolina when Daniels got hurt, and he played really well. Like, awesome. Like, the Carolina Panthers are like an ACC-level team. Like, they should be playing Clemson this weekend, not the Denver Broncos. Bit of a different story if the Bears know Mariota's playing and have a full week to prepare for him. So if it's Mariota and you can lay 2.5 with Chicago, I'd even lay 3 with the Bears on the road if Marcus Mariota plays. And if Jaden Daniels plays, Washington will get bet. Maybe this game closes a pick'em. I'd still bet the Bears at that point. Daniels has a rib injury. He's going to get shot up with Toradol if he plays, a pain-killing injection. He's not going to move around the same, and I'll like Chicago in the game. So I like the Bears no matter what. If it's Mariota, I would lay 3. If it's Daniels, wait for Washington to get bet and then bet Chicago right before kickoff.
What is your favorite college game of the week?
Oh, man, there's always, like, so many college games. It's always tough to pick one. How about tomorrow night? Really interesting game, and, like, this is off, like, the national – maybe it's on the national radar because Ashton Jeanty is the Heisman Trophy favorite, Boise State's running back. So tomorrow night, Boise State plays at UNLV, and this is basically, like, maybe a playoff game, seriously, in the Mountain West, where I think one of these two teams is going to be one of the 12 teams that makes the college football playoff. Boise Boise State has the Heisman Trophy frontrunner running back Genty. Boise State's about a 3-point road favorite at UNLV. I do like Boise State tomorrow laying the 3. So I like Boise. Do I have any other really good ones to give you? Alabama, Missouri got bet. I'll tell you this. Notre Dame has been a hot bet this week, guys. They are bet out now to almost a 13-point road favorite in Navy. I would say to anyone out there that likes Notre Dame, I would look to bet this sooner rather than later. The spread is going to continue to go up. Notre Dame at Navy coming up on Saturday.
You're going to be distracted anyway, Nick. We know the Yankees start tomorrow night in the World Series, and you're going to be obsessed with watching them beat the Dodgers in 5.
Well, I sincerely hope that's the case. I think the series will go on a little longer than that. I am a Yankee fan. I will root for my team, but I always want to pass along the best betting information for you guys. I think a lot of people have planned, and the Dodgers were a bit of a surprise. I think a lot of people expected, and people can be wrong. Smart people can be wrong. You know, betting is about not fortune-telling, but probability. And I think people felt the probability was the Dodgers, because of their lack of starting pitching, would get knocked out before they made the World Series. But here they are right now. And then the Yankees are a team that I know a lot of people were targeting to bet against in the World Series when they made it. So I think what you're going to see professional bettors do, it doesn't mean that they're going to be right. I think that they will be on the LA Dodgers in this series against the Yankees, thinking that the Yankees fall short in some like historical statistical categories. I will choose to root for my team. And I will say that if you are looking for a long shot World Series MVP price, if you like the Yankees, I would take a look at their closer, Luke Weaver, who's 250-1 at BetMGM.
Good call.
Yeah, that's a fun one. Great stuff. Appreciate it, buddy.
Thanks, Nick.
You got it. Wishing you guys and all the listeners Minimal Sweats Winning Bets the absolute very best of luck.
That was the host of You Better You Bet, Odyssey Sports Betting Insider Nick Costos. Insider calls are presented by BetMGM. Go check out all the latest lines today on the BetMGM app.
I didn't mean Yankees in 5. I think it'll take at least 6.
I had a really fun question I was going to kind of go over with you. I think we'll talk tomorrow about our predictions for the series and the MVP, but I was going to ask about what pitcher you believe could be the MVP of this series. Because I think there are a lot of different answers.
There are a lot
I don't
of
think
different
there's
answers.
Going to be a pitcher who's the MVP, first of all, but
could be.
It could be. And if I'm right, I think I might want to take a wager on Carlos Rodon.
Could be some
just
cold.
Because he can strike people out.
I think the cold reality is it could be Garrett.
Yeah, I don't think it's going to be him. I think he's the favored pitcher.
How about Stroman?
No.
The Stro Show.
Yeah, I'm surprised you didn't say the Dodger reliever.
Kopech.
Who shall go unnamed.
Kopech.
He's probably going to start the bullpen game, right? They have a bullpen game.
Him starting a game in the World Series is going to trigger you, and I can't wait for that morning.
Thank you, buddy. I'm here for you, always. All right, we've got Brian Baldinger. We're going to bring in Brian. We're going to talk about his tape breakdown of the Chicago Bears, what he sees from Washington, and we'll get a real good feel for how he breaks down that game. We will do so next. It is Mully and Haw, Chicago Sports Radio, 670 The Score.
In the fast-paced world of attacking, speed is everything. And that's where the Furon 7 Plus shines. Engineered for accuracy and precision at a rapid pace, it's your secret weapon on the pitch. Experience overall comfort and precise striking, even in the game's fastest moments. The nylon outsole, with its V-shaped stud configuration, is designed for firm ground, giving you the grip you need to outmaneuver your opponents. Step up your attacking game and learn more and purchase the Furon at NewBalance.com.
Oh, 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 O'Reilly!
Protect your vehicle's engine with a full synthetic oil change and save with Mobil 1 at O'Reilly Auto Parts. Purchase 5 quarts of Mobil 1 full synthetic motor oil and receive a $10 O'Reilly gift card after rebate. See store for details. With your Mobil 1 purchase, you'll also receive 2x points during Old Rewards Bonus Points Month at O'Reilly Auto Parts.
Oh, 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 O'Reilly Auto Parts.
Have you ever wondered what it's like to experience something paranormal, supernatural, or unexplainable? Join host Jack Wagner on the podcast Otherworld as he explores spine-chilling real stories shared by everyday people who have experienced something unexplainable. Listen each week for first-person testimony from people who have come face-to-face with something that can't just be explained away. Listen and follow Otherworld, an Odyssey podcast, available now on the Odyssey app or wherever you get your podcasts.